Hello, once again, First Class fans. Welcome back. We've got a great show coming up for you today. I am, as always, the Elk, and we've got so much to talk about in the First Class League this week. We've got free agency pickups. We've got a belt reveal. Lots of talk about the flirting flouse. And spoiler alert, this guy's going to be a star. We'll be joined today by Nick Harley to discuss everything that's going on. It's going to be a great show. And one more thing before we get started. Thank you to Steph Sabraw, our announcer, for letting me do the obligatory this week in the FCL Sander Bullock reference. Just call Brad Gilmore Bradley Cooper, because this week it's all about Steve. Let's talk more about this week in the FCL. All right, here we are, guys. We are back. I've got my regular co-host with me today, as always, being joined by our super producer, making us all look good, Chris Barnes. How are you today?
I am very well, Andrew. Thank you very much. What a week we've had. A lot of news this week.
All right, we've got my counterpart on color commentary, our very own stats man. Keith, what the hell are you wearing?
You know, Andrew, people have come out to me in the last week and they said, you've been too nice for the last few weeks. You've been too kind to these people. So you know something? I'm going to take a lead out of the man in the middle and welcome to this show, The Ruiner. But first, congratulations to these two guys on getting picked up more so.
You're going to take your lead from me, Keith? Everyone takes their lead from me. I'm a leader.
He is a leader, and we'll get to him in just one moment, our very special guest. But, of course, as always, our other co-host, he is a phenom. He's always working on social media, on all those shows on YouTube. Hello and welcome, once again, Ryan Purvison.
Thank you very much. Good to be here. Good to be with everybody. And, of course, congratulations to Nick the Spoiler Harley getting picked up in the MTS, aka the Major Leagues of Movie Trivia. So that'll be a good conversation. Maybe we'll be friends at the end of this night. Maybe we won't. I don't know. We'll see.
You've heard a little bit from him already. And of course, I was proclaiming him one of the greats from the very first moment he appeared on screen, showing that I do know what I'm talking about once in a while, folks. He is a star in the movie Trivia Schmodown. He will be facing off for that number one contendership, that championship belt that we got to see this week. Welcome the one, the only, the spoiler, Nick Harley.
Elk, buddy, pleasure to be here with you. It's disappointing that you haven't ditched the other three stooges here, but excited to talk to you. And, you know, let's see what these guys got. You finally invited the wolf into the hen house, boys. So let's see if you can survive.
Harley, you're on our time in our house. You watch yourself.
Mr. Harley, I apologize in advance and for everything that Keith says, because I'm sure that's not the last thing he's going to say. That's totally and completely wrong.
Hey, it's not your fault that he seems to have smooched the Blarney Stone before he hops on these little shows. So,
oh, funny, an Irish joke because I'm Irish. Good one, Nick. Where'd you get that one from?
You know.
Okay. I think it's time to move on now. Come on.
Indeed. Let's go ahead and move on. We've got a whole lot to talk about this week in the FCL. Of course, a little later, we'll be breaking down all of our match-up action. We got two great matches coming your way. But first, the news that's fit to print, fit to talk about, hell, just the news in general, coming your way from the FCL. Number one, of course, we've got to talk about it. We've got to talk free agency. We've got Nick Harley here. He's moving up. He's taking a spot. But he's got, so far, two fellow competitors moving up, as mentioned by Keith already, Ross from Nowhere and Gerald Batolia. Already, the FCL seems to be a star-making factory, literally, in Nick Harley's case. So let's get to talking about it. Who was picked up? What do you like about this? How are the teams going to fare? And who's going to take their spots in the FCL? Let's start off with the man himself, Keith.
You know, I'm so, so happy that you came to me first, because I have so, so much to say about this. Listen, Roxy had a spot. She went with what I can only describe as a bargain basement Jeff Snyder. But listen, I hope that you learn from him at least. You know, in terms of Kate picking up Ross, I think, listen, at the time of recording, Harper's got a 5-rounder tonight. So listen, it makes sense. Iron sharpens iron this week. After that, let's see, you know, where he kind of fits in. And then Jared, you know, worst case scenario, he's training with Ben Bateman and Dan Merle for the rest of the year. How is that not a good idea to do? They're just my thoughts.
All right. Well, lots to say from Keith. I disagree with some of it, but we are a group here. We all have our own opinions, and I'd like to hear what Ryan has to say about this one.
You would, wouldn't you? No, look, in all seriousness, look, congratulations to all three of these competitors for moving up in the world to the MTS. They're going to the big leagues, playing for the big cash, playing for those big houses out in Beverly Hills, getting that flashy new car. Maybe they'll get a title around their waist one of these days. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Who knows? But congrats to all three. I'm happy for all three, especially Ross from Nowhere. He's a nice guy. He knows what's up. The other two, I don't have to deal with your ugly faces anymore. But so that makes me happy on the inside as well as the outside. But other than that, it's an interesting development, and congratulations to all three factions, because now in those three factions respectively, things are going to be spiced up a little bit, and the MTS is going to be shaken up a little bit. Maybe we'll get an attitude adjustment, as a former, you know, as a promoter once said back in the Monday Night War days. So yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes, especially for Ross from Nowhere. We're happy for you, buddy.
And let's go to the man who's the real reason I stick around here, because he works hard and makes me look good, and I'm very, very lazy. What are you thinking about these free agency pickups, CB?
Well, I'm not really sure why my name seems to have been lumped in with Keith and Ryan's, with Nick. He seems to not like me as much, when I feel like I'm very much more on the fence and try and call it down the middle as it is. But still, whatever. I do think, obviously, it was a no-brainer, Nick, get him called up by Roxy. If she needed someone, I said last week, she's got that empty slot. She may as well fill it. And who else to fill it was one of the guys going for the title belt next week. Makes sense. Gerald as well is another one that I've said he's been one of my favorites so far. He's I think he's hardly missed a question this in the two matches he's had. He's been spot on, so I'm not surprised that Kaiser's gone for him, and he seems to very much fit the dungeon kind of thing as well. And Keith's right, working with Bateman and Merle is just going to be amazing for him. And of course, like I've always said, Ross was one of my favorites going into the league. I was surprised he didn't make the Schmodown initially in for the Star Wars division. I'm just a little bit concerned, like, obviously Kate's picked him up. Does she really need three Star Wars players? I mean, what do you guys think of that? I mean, it was a surprising pickup for me.
I do not disagree, Chris Barnes. Star Wars pickup a bit odd when you're already stacked, but hey, we knew Star Wars players were going to be hot commodities moving into the Schmodown. As for the other two, Gerald Battaglia, very impressive so far. I think he's a good pick for any team. But a man who may very well have a belt around his waist when he moves up, a man I'm very interested in because he's one of the best the FCL has to offer, and a man who's taking a spot, I don't know if you knew this, Nick, of one of my favorite players of all time. You're stepping up into the shoes of Mark Andreyko to bite on one of our fellow podcasts. We love all of them. Check them all out. They're doing a great job covering the FCL just like us. For an insider's view of free agency drafting, let's go to the man himself, Nick Harley. How are you feeling about moving up and about your fellow competitors going to the show?
You know, Elk, you know, I feel great. You know, they I feel like they made the right decision. The Stars, they were the first faction to pick up someone from the FCL, and I feel like they made the right choice. I mean, wouldn't you say so?
I mean, I am thoroughly in agreement with you. Obviously, a man like you is a great pickup because there's so many benefits. You're knowledgeable, you're entertaining, and hey, with all that time you're not watching movies, you got time to do all the other stuff the faction needs to get done.
Yeah,
yeah, like make sandwiches.
Oh. I don't know if he'll be making any sandwiches. Maybe I have to bring back the famous movie trivia face-off Elk's Lodge craft services table for all of our guests sooner rather than later. But that being said, we do have some people moving up. And, of course, this week in the FCL does pass on sincere congratulations to all three competitors, including our guest today, Nick Harley. Gerald, Ross, good luck to all of you.
Yeah, you
wish
know,
you all well.
You know, I think if Gerald can avoid being picked up on racketeering charges, he might be beneficial for the dungeon. And, you know, as far as Ross from Nowhere goes, I mean, I don't even understand why there are 12 of these space ninja movies to begin with. let alone why some faction needs three Star Wars players. But congrats to Ross. He seems like a swell guy.
He does seem like he's probably a decent guy, and it does seem like he's probably going to be happy about what happened. But, of course, free agency, not the only news this week. Here's one. I want to jump to one that I think, Nick, you'll have a lot to say about, because I know you were watching, just like all of us were, that beautiful title belt, that belt that you're going after, that belt that's soon going to be around your waist. Thoughts?
Don't you think it'll look really well with this leather jacket? I do. I think it'll be a perfect accessory to go along with the shades.
It is a pretty piece of jewelry. Ryan, would you leave the house wearing that belt?
Absolutely, because one day, sooner rather, hopefully sooner rather than later, that belt's coming home with me, because I do plan on becoming the FCL champion once Brad, Steph, PLD, all the executives and the commissioners and the chairmen, all the people who work behind the scenes, look at my tape, look at the stats, look at what I've done in my family career, and realize that Ryan, the quote, is more than worthy of being in the FCL, competing with some of the other dogs in the yard, and going after that title.
You might have a chance now that the big dog is gone, so who's to say?
Hey, less competition never hurt anybody. Now let's go to my friendly competition and see what he thinks about this lovely piece of accoutrement. Keith.
I mean, it looks good. It'll look great on Kofi Outlaw come Wednesday morning. It's even better.
I don't know what got into Keith. He's always like this, I guess. But it is a beautiful title belt. Chris, I love this belt. I personally want one for myself. Do you think they're going to sell that in the merch store? I can buy it along with the FCL t-shirts.
I mean, if that's something you want to collect, it'd be nice if they did, even if it's just for you and for your collection. It's a nice belt. I mean, it's something that I'm never going to get anywhere near. We've made that apparently clear on recent episodes of This Week in the FCL. My knowledge is not the best when it comes to movies. You're not going to see me competing, unlike Ryan, who obviously has his sights set on it at some point down the line. Hopefully he gets there one day. But yeah, it's a very nice belt. I haven't really got much more to say about it. It's a nice belt. I'll be never wearing it.
It is a lovely belt, whether over your shoulder or around your waist. Nick Harley, you can decide which one looks best once you've won that beautiful, beautiful piece of jewelry. Oh, I love it so much. And now for our next big piece of news. There's four words. All I have to say. No preamble necessary. Zuh, flirt, in, flouse, thoughts. Let's get right into it. Ryan, Zuh, flirt, and flouse.
Yeah, Zuh Vernon Flouse has made his presence known. It's crazy. It's wild. I mean, he's got the hair. He's got the hat. He's got the what was he wearing that day? A hoodie, a zip-up hoodie, whatever the heck. I don't know what's going on. It's crazy town all around when it comes to Zuh Vernon Flouse versus, I guess, he has an opponent coming up pretty soon. So that's just, I don't know what's going on. I'm just here to talk to Nick Harley for a minute. I don't know.
All right, so Flirt and Flouse, the German music superstar, has settled with Brad Gilmore. Unfortunately, Brad didn't read all the fine print, but it turns out he's okay with the addendum as we find out that the Warfather will be making his FCL debut against the Flirt and Flouse. I know that, Keith, you want to ruin this for all of our fans, so go ahead. How are you going to ruin this upcoming matchup?
I mean, I'm not going to ruin the upcoming matchup, Andrew. I think it's actually, it makes perfect sense. Brad's a smart guy. He understands business. He understands product and marketing. He knows that Harley and Outlaw can't sell, so we got in the flirting place to bring in the views. Simple as. It's a beautiful piece of marketing. Congrats, Brad. Really, really love this.
You know, I might have to agree with you there, Keith, on some level. I mean, it's hard to sell a championship match when you're just doing it on your own. I mean, where is Kofi Outlaw? Have you seen any promos from him? Has he been popping up on social media? No, the guy is scared. He's hiding under a rock from me. And listen, I don't have anything against the guy. He seems like he knows movies, whatever credit that gives him. But he doesn't stand a chance. And I think he knows it. And that's why he's keeping quiet.
Well, I personally do not understand all these competitors who feel like you have to go to movies to know what you're doing in this league. Obviously, Nick, you've proven them wrong time and time again. And as far as Kofi Outlaw goes, I mean, maybe he's hiding, maybe he's scared. I personally agree with that, but I always just thought he was still locked in small claims court with John Rocha. Who knows? Maybe the gag order isn't up yet. We will find out more about Kofi Outlaw when you go on to face him for the title, and we will talk a lot more about that. But for right now, how about this? Here's one that I know you'll like, Nick Harley. The top 10 FCL rankings were released by Brad on Twitter. I know Chris has those available, and I want to see them up there in glorious living color. Let's bring those up. And who's that at number one? That's right. It's the man himself, Mr. Harley. Spoiler alert, top of the list. CB, I know you have opinions about this list. I know you have some feelings. What do you got to say about these top 10? These are your big 10, your top of the heap.
My feelings are honestly not that controversial. I pretty much agree with this list of how it should be. Yes, Harley, our guest today and Outlaw, maybe they could mix around one, two, whatever. They're both in that title match. They both deserve to be in the top two spots, whichever way it goes. Gerald, for me, is in perfect spot. He's got two wins. I mean, arguably, he could have been in that title match himself. He probably deserved to be there himself. Unfortunately, I just don't think he'd had his second match by the time it was announced, so he'd only had the one win under his belt. But generally, I think it all looks pretty good. It's good to see Kaylin Corrigan up there. With her, obviously, she's just only had the one win. And obviously, a friend of the show, although he can be a pain in the ass, Andrew Furtado coming in the 10th spot. It's exciting.
Yeah, we've talked to a few of these people, and I personally disagree very strongly with Andrew Furtado's placement.
Shocker. But
this list. Hey, I'm a man of simple taste. I see someone with talent, I like them. That's all there is to it. Nick Harley knows what it's like. But in the end, this list is, of course, going to change as well. We've got at least two people on this list, yourself, Mr. Harley, and Gerald Battaglia. They're going to be gone pretty soon. They're going to be on their way to the big show, stepping up to the MTS, and we're going to fill this up. I love all the people on here. I like Vanessa and Robert. I think they're in good positions. I like David Campbell and Andrew Furtado looking strong. And I really do think overall this list is approximately where it should be. I do disagree with one thing. I think Nick Harley and Kofi LR are definitely number one and number two in that order. Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, I think this list is pretty respectable. A few things I would change would be the placement of Vanessa Fitzsimmons and Robert Montano. I think I would move them up a few more spots. But other than that, this is a respectable list. Got some good competitors on there with Kaylin Corrigan, Robert Adams. I think they got, you know, with their next couple of matches, they're going to improve a lot. And they're going to move up a few spots as well as a few other competitors. So it's a good, respectable top 10 list.
And Nick, you've already technically moved a little bit beyond this list. You achieved the FCL goal. You're moving on to the Schmodown. You got drafted. You got your spot in the big show. But you got to feel pretty good about this list right now. I mean, who's number one?
That's right, baby. I mean, look, Keith's wearing sunglasses to hide the fact that he's welling up under there, seeing me in that top spot. But, you know, I don't have any qualms with this list. You know, even though we may have ideological differences, I think that David Campbell's record maybe doesn't reflect where he should be on this list, as well as my close personal friend, Andrew Furtado. I have to ask you fellas a question, though. Based on some of the matches that we saw this past week, do you think that maybe Travis Fishburne belongs on this list in place of anyone that, you know, may be slated on there now?
I think Fishburne goes to 10. I think he put in a pretty decent performance, all things considered, Nick, and I would put him in the 10 spot.
I mean, you know what, Keith? I'm definitely going to agree with you on this one and say that number 10 is a very good spot for Mr. Fishburne. That being said, I think we're going to have to bump Kaylin Corrigan off and move Andrew Furtado up at least one spot.
Shocker. Shocker again.
I know Ryan doesn't agree with me.
No, I don't. But, you know, to each their own, Elk. To each their own.
Do you know, I mean, I suppose you got Robert Adams and Furtado. They've both, and David Campbell, to be fair, they've all have a loss on their record as well. So, you know, you got to think with Travis now as a 1-0, he hasn't got a loss yet. Yes, he's only played the one game. But you got to think they probably should be up on this 10 list ahead of some of those other guys, but who knows?
Well, there will be some spots opening up, as we mentioned. Of course, Nick Harley, Gerald Battaglia will be leaving this list shortly. And, of course, we here at This Week in the FCL will be happy to break down any new rankings. Who belongs? Who doesn't? What great matchups that they have had. A couple more things to get to before we get to our matchups this week, of course. And we have two things that I want to get to with Nick Harley. But before we do that, one final piece of FCL business. Shimo calls out Jin Doyen And he's talking about the Sinister Syndicate. Who are they? How many are there? When will they arrive? Will they bring takeout? We'll find out the answers to all these questions eventually. But, hey, this is an opinion show, so let's have some opinions about it. Chris Barnes.
I haven't got many opinions about it. I mean, who are they? I don't know. How many is there? Six, I'd imagine. That's how the old Spider-Man thing goes, right, I suppose. So, I mean, if you're looking at the roster we've seen so far, I don't think, you know, present company accepted. No one's been really bad, like bad guy, I'm saying. Not bad at your job. You do very well at the movie trivia, Nick, I will admit that. But, you know, you've not always been the nicest guy. Who would be part of this Sinister Syndicate? I don't know. Honestly, there's no one that springs to mind that could be there. So
hold on a second.
Honestly, no idea.
I know exactly who is a part of this Sinister Syndicate, okay? And it's that damn wheel. That wheel is a part of the Sinister Syndicate, okay? You won't convince me otherwise.
I've only played in a couple of movie trivia matches myself, but I agree 100%. The wheel is the supervillain we all want to see go down. Oh, man. Oh, that damn wheel. All right. Keith, what do you think? What do you got to say about this? Shimo and the Sinister Syndicate. Who is it? Come on, take a shot. Pick a person. Who's in the Sinister Syndicate? You got to have a guess. You have an opinion on everything.
I do have an opinion on everything, and mostly they are all correct. They have been for 12 weeks, and they will continue on to be for the next 12 months. I think for Shimo, personally, I wouldn't be surprised if he's kind of blowing smoke up all our asses, and Jin Doyen is actually part of this, and it's a whole little bit between the two of them. Do you know, I think like maybe that was the whole reasoning behind his electricity failing and whatnot. But other than that, I would have said the man in the middle, but he's moving on to bigger and better things, making sandwiches for the stars. Other than that, maybe Furtado, but I don't know. I think Furtado is more interested in maybe popping shots at others than getting involved in a little toy club with James Shimo.
I don't think Furtado is necessarily sinister either. He's just, I'm not really sure what you can call him, but sinister is not a word that I would label Andrew Furtado with.
Well, I call him incredibly entertaining, but Ryan, Keith had an interesting thought. What if this is a double cross? What if this is all a game by the Sinister Syndicate? Could Jin Doyen, in fact, be a member? And if not, who else could be in this Sinister Syndicate? I am curious. I can't wait to find out. But for now, all we got is guesses.
Yes, we do. And considering the promo that he cut, I think he's just blowing smoke. I think talk is cheap, you know, unless you actually reveal who your Sinister Six are. By the way, Marvel called James Shimo. They want their titles back. Sinister Six belongs to Marvel, not you. So be warned, you're probably going to get sued because happens every other day. But no, I don't think anyone's a part of anything. I think James is just, you know, cutting a promo to cut a promo just to warn everybody, hey, I'm coming for you guys. Ooh, you know, I'm going to go for the title. It's like, by the way, James, it's not even Halloween yet. Get a grip, all right? Get a grip on yourself. Seriously. Stop trying to act like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons, okay? We've had that show for like 35 years now. We don't need another Mr. Burns, all right? Just leave it alone, James. Leave it alone. Anyway, I don't think there's anything going on with him.
All right. Well, the prevailing opinion from all of our pundits here at This Week in the FCL appears to be that Shimo is talking a lot, but we haven't seen anything yet. And really, no way of knowing who's in the Sinister Syndicate, unless, of course, you're Nick Hartley. You obviously know what's going on. You've got the inside track. You know everything. But
I don't have any inside information, but let me ask you, who would have the technological prowess to cut the power in David Jin Doyen's house? Ask yourself that question.
Well, hold on. Let me collect my thoughts.
Who has also pulled off some other, let's say, hacking in the FCL?
Mr. John Knight, maybe.
I don't mean to throw stones, but hey.
I like your thinking.
Hey, that's a very good call. See that, Nick Hartley? You're already making us all so much smarter. And speaking of your wonderful talents, Nick Hartley, you've got another talent that you shared with all of us this week. I got to say, as much as I love what you do and the way that you entertain us, I don't think you'll be taking over for the zombies anytime soon. But hey, let's talk about it. That promo, the song, are you in Kofi Outlaw's head? He's not coming back at you. You said it yourself. He's not responding at all. So was that on purpose? Did you want to just really rattle him? What did you think you were going to get out of your opponent when you started singing out to him, give him that little serenade?
You know, I just wanted to give him the lullaby that will lull him to sleep after I knock him out.
I mean, Keith, you listen to the song. You're going to be picking it up on iTunes. You're going to be blasting that at your next house party.
What do you think he's listening to in those headphones right now?
Unfortunately, it's your dull tones, Harley. But listen, we'll get by that for the next hour or so. I think, listen, the disrespect that you've shown to poor Dolores, may she rest in peace from the Cranberries, by the disrespect of the song. Like, seriously, you could have picked anything. You had to pick that. I think, personally, you knew you were coming here this Friday. You knew my roots, my heritage. And you said, listen, I'll take a shot of coffee, but I'll take a shot of Kilduff as well.
Not everything's about you, Keith. Hate to break it to you.
We'll see.
But if he was coming at you, admittedly, at least he's good at taking a shot at multiple targets. Ryan, the song, is it a club banger or is it off the rotation?
No, I think it was to be honest, I'm not going to give this guy many comments, even if he is in the MTS, Nick Harley. I'm looking at you. Good choice of song. I haven't heard that song in very long time. So thanks for bringing it up. Thanks for playing it, because it's a good way to get in someone's head, mess with their mind, play a little bit of mind games, which I know competitors sometimes like to do, whether it's FCL or MTS or any other sport, for what you got to go with. So, yeah, good on you, Nick Harley. I'll allow it.
You know, Ryan, I have to show you something. Can you see up my nose? Can you see? I think you called me snot-nosed on this show over 5 different times. So I just want to make sure that you can see that there's no snot up my nose. Can you see? Should I get closer?
No, no need to get closer. You're still a snot-nosed punk, but at least you're going to be out of our faces pretty soon to move up to the MTS, so I won't have to deal with you anymore in the FCL when I'm competing and laying the smackdown on everybody and winning that belt.
All right, Matt. And Nick Harley, I mean, you came on here. You're our special guest. We appreciate having you. And everybody's just treating you so badly. I cannot understand it. You're right. Maybe I should be suing out to strike out on my own. But we'll continue for now with the show, with the format. No hosts are getting fired just yet. Chris, we're talking later about this. I promise you that. One more thing, Mr. Harley, and we're going to ask you. We're going to go for it. We're going to go for the scoop here on This Week in the FCL. You were talking to Brad. You said to him, did you read the contract? Did you read the fine print? I don't think he did. I don't think Brad knew what he was getting himself into. So right now, are you going to tell us what's up with that contract? What's going on? What are you getting out of Brad?
Listen, I think that Brad Gilmore is a smart guy. I mean, clearly he put me in a number one contender match, and he's still allowing me to play in the first ever FCL championship match. So, Brad knows what he's doing. However, I think he may want to reconsider his legal representation, because I don't know if they read everything that was in that contract. But, me and my new representation, the Stars, we decided to just, sprinkle in a little addendum. And I would hate to spoil the surprise, Elk, but I think that you might be seeing – if everything goes according to plan, I think you'll find out very soon what was in that contract.
Oh, I cannot wait to find out. Of course, that's an amazing matchup. Nick Harley coming out for the title and the fine print. It's all signed, sealed, delivered. What was in that contract? We're going to find out. I know Keith has ideas about it. Ryan does and Chris does. But you know what? For this one, I'm just going to skip your opinions. I don't care about that. Let's move on instead to the exciting matches of this week and break them all down with our special guest, Nick Harley. Let's talk about both matches that happened this week in the FCL.
FCL 11 has been and gone as 4 more competitors entered the ring looking to get their first wins in this season's FCL. We opened with Fred Klein versus Travis Fishburne. Promos came up. Fishburne had a good character about him. I'll give him that. I kind of got here's a bit of a pull for you. Kind of got Avery Carrington, Grand Theft Auto Vice City vibes out of the guy, while Fred was more so kind of like old school Schmodown, kind of, I'm here for the answers and I'll leave the character at the door. Coming into round one, three new categories were brought into rotation this week: family films, courtroom legal thrillers, and sports for the first time this season. So really, again, PLD and the guys are really mixing up round one, keeping guys like Harley and everybody on their toes. Something, I suppose, Nick, for you to look out for next week also, but we'll get to that. As for the round itself, N7, 5 to Fishburn. They both get the new releases question, Sacha Baron Cohen in the trial of Chicago 7. Family films is the Paddington question, and then they both missed the courtroom legal thrillers, which is the Chadwick Boseman 2017 Marshall movie. I didn't know that one myself. Then Fishburne goes perfect on the last few, and directors Tim Burton comes up. Fantasy, sci-fi, and 90s are misses for Fred, with Source Code and Sense and Sensibility, unfortunately. And then we round out the round with the Julia Roberts, Dermot Mulroney, My Best Friend's Wedding, and then Rudy, which is the Sean Astin 93 sports movie. 7-5, good round all in all. Ryan, what do you think of the questions, and did you know Marshall?
It's funny you say that, because I was playing along and I actually went 6-8 because I saw that movie last year during the, you know, during the pandemic. I watched Marshall, but I just completely blanked on it. I couldn't pull it when the time came up when I was watching the match. And the other one was Sense and Sensibility. I confused that with another film. I believe it was, what was it, Pride and Prejudice. So I got those two mixed up. Jane Austen, she's got a big, you know, bibliography. What?
Yes.
Bottom line is, she wrote a lot of books. So I would have gotten the two confused. But as soon as it came out, I was like, oh, Sense and Sensibility. I remember seeing a trailer for that on a VHS that I watched not too long ago. Yes, I still use VHS tapes, Nick Harley. Take notes. So,
well, you can't pronounce bibliography. So,
bottom line. Thanks. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Nick. Yeah, we'll see you on the way out. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. But anyway. Yeah, I would have gone 6-8, but it was a good round. Good questions, too. But I blanked on Marshall, blanked on Sense and Sensibility. I confused it with another Jane Austen film. But, yeah, good round, though.
Andrew, talk to me. New, more categories coming into round one, really keeping these guys on their toes, whether they're coming in as a returnee or a first-timer.
Lots of new categories. I actually do like the difficulty on the questions here in round one. We've had some discussions about this before, how maybe in round one in the FCL, some of the early weeks, we saw a lot of context clues and a couple of real kind of questionable softballs getting pitched across the line. They're getting started, and we said, hey, let's give it some time. It looks like the question writers are settling in and getting a good balance. There's some difficulty. There's a real diversity to these questions, which I liked. And I think the biggest takeaway I had in round number one, other than that I really, really like Klein, I think he's performing well. He's staying in the right mood while he's competing. I think at the same time, maybe the unfamiliarity with the game is coming in. We don't see this with a lot of competitors, but every now and then someone comes in who doesn't know the rules. They have not watched the Schmodown, and it's clear they have not done the preparation. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that necessarily to start, but I will say, going to need to step that up, going to need to get a little more familiar with all the rules, maybe with that wonderful three-word phrase we use so often, J-T-E. I'm going to stay on that. I'm going to keep harping on it, competitors, because a lot of you are finishing matches with two or three JTs left, and you're just missing questions you might be able to get. That, I think, will be the story here for the rest of this match. But overall, pretty good first-round debut for both, and I do like the questions.
Nick, talk to me about how difficult you reckon it's going to be now that they're bringing in more round one categories. Like, obviously, the first kind of 5 or 6 weeks while you were watching us, kind of helping you prepare, we were able to let you know as to what you needed to look out for so that you could get your wins and points on the board. So, like, moving on, how do you think this is going to work?
Well, just like everybody in the FCL, you want to take some credit for my victories. And listen, I don't blame you for wanting to be associated with me and ride my coattails, but
I don't ride coattails.
I like to see that. I like to see the questions going up in difficulty. I mean, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. And, you know, I'm an expert cook, so, you know, I like seeing it happen.
CB, let's talk about round two. So it's 7-5. Fishburn decides that he wants to go first on the wheel. Again, the wheel makeup is very much like what I've been saying the last few weeks. You guys don't need to hear me prattling on. You know what way it works at this stage.
Hold on 1 second, Keith, before you move on. How can I get you to say that last part much more often?
You can ask CB to clip it out and put it in hold. How about that?
I'll take notes.
Just put that in the back pocket.
So listen, Arnie and Sly is Fishburne's first spin and decides to take it. He goes 7 of 8, the director of Terminator, Terminator 2. What Batman movie is Arnie Mr. Freeze? How many times has Sly played Rambo? And then there's the multiple choice one, the 97 neo-noir crime drama, Copland. What was your thoughts on Fishburne being happy in the moment, taking Arnie and Sly, and then just the four questions in general?
I think, obviously, I quite like the what sort of actor categories, because obviously, if you know that actor, you kind of generally know you're going to have a decent grasp of what their movies and what they've been in. Obviously, this is a category where there's two guys, but I think they're kind of, you know, if you like Arnie, you probably like Sly's stuff anyway. So it makes sense that they're on a category together. He obviously made the right choice because he did pretty well. Obviously, you have to drop to multiple choice for one, which, you know, honestly, I didn't know the answer to that one. I did find this round, Fishburne's questions a lot relatively easy, probably easier than some of these round one questions. And that's kind of a trend of, I think, we've started to see over the last few weeks, where round one's definitely upped its difficulty. But some of these round two categories, I'm finding these questions to be actually a little on the easier side. And when I'm saying that, that's like says something, because as I've said many times, I'm not going to say again, but I'm useless. But yeah, he did great. Obviously, it was the right choice. So there's not much more to say. I just felt like it was a relatively easy round for him, really. And the only real tricky one was the one he had to get a multiple choice with. But he got that in the end. So
I think with the multiple choice pull as well, there's a safety in Fishburne knowing that he's got that 2-point lead. So he can choose to go down. And even if Klein goes perfect, he's still in the lead himself. So it's kind of good game awareness for the guy on his debut. But listen, Klein comes in, rom-coms on his first spin, says no. Spinner's choice is what he gets. It's the 9th time this season that spinner's choice has been spun. And that works out at 15% of the total spins of this season's FCL. Harley, you're shaking your head, but that's because you've been on the other side of it. But we'll get to that later on. I've got a couple of stats for you on that one. We'll get to that. But obviously, Klein in the moment decides he's going to take his bullseye slice. It's 80. So that's naturally moving forward. That when you're playing Klein, you know what his bullseye slice is now, more than likely. Goes 8 for 8, the 88 comedy with DeVito and Arnie, twins. We get Bruce Willis and Look Who's Talking. Fatal Attraction comes up in War Games. 8 for 8. Ryan, how would you get on in round two for both guys' spin?
Yeah, I think I would have done quite well. I think I would have gotten all 8 of those questions right, because they weren't that hard. At least in my opinion, you know, maybe hard for somebody else. But for me, it was, what do they call it? Oh, yeah, Easy Street. So, yeah, I would have been fine. Good categories, good questions. And by the way, I just finished rewatching for the nth time the Terminator the night before. So I like those questions. Good stuff. Good categories by both competitors. And both competitors are doing quite well up to this point.
Nick, as we move into round three, you're a guy in your career so far. You've been on kind of opposite ends at the end of round two. You were down against Knight, but you were up against Campbell. Obviously, you would prefer to be up, but when you're down, what's the feeling moving into round three? Like, are you just kind of like, please, please, please give me a chance? Or where are you kind of thinking?
No, I never think that. Come on, Keith. I think I remain confident. I come into round two expecting that I'm going to crush. I'm going to get, you know, 8 points real quick and easy. Maybe check down to multiple choice if I need to, but as we've seen, that doesn't happen all that often. You know, I'm not really concerned being down, being up. I know that when it comes to round two, that it's just a precursor to the deep water that is round three. So, you know, I feel like we can talk about that for these two gentlemen.
Okay, we'll move on. Because you asked so nicely and because you've been so cordial, we'll move into round three. Klein's 2 misses it. Spike Lee, what Spider-Man actor played David Duke in Black Klansman, can't pull Topher Grace. Hits his 3, the M. Night movie that has the quote of, I see dead people. Comes back to Fishburne on his 2 and his 3, scores and soundtracks. What's the first collaboration between Danny Elfman and Tim Burton? And then the horror franchise of Dennis Hopper, Jessica Biel, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Comes back then to Battle of the Fives. Klein's 5 is in the realm of 2000s, the 05 rom-com supporting cast of Bradley Cooper and so forth, Wedding Crashers. And then we get a really interesting 5-pointer, action adventure, the 2003 John Woo movie with Ben Affleck as a reverse engineer, Paycheck, and your winner, 24-21. Ryan, what are your thoughts on round three?
Yeah, really good questions, really good categories. Both competitors gave it their all, and it turned and you know, whoever wins, it was a really good match. It was a respectable match, and both competitors did a good job. Plus, you know, with the mustache and the Hawaiian shirt and looking like a, you know, character that just walked out of a Grand Theft Auto Vice City video game, which goes all the way back to like what, mid late 2000s, whatever the heck that was. Gosh, what a killer soundtrack. I just, what is it? I Ran So Far Away by the Seagulls. It was great. But yeah, other than that, congrats to both competitors. They did really well. Look forward to seeing what they're doing in the future. But the winner of this match, Hawaiian shirt looking dude, good work.
Andrew, even with Klein missing his two by virtue of Fishburne getting his five, he wasn't going to get the job done. Where do you think that he went wrong in this match, round one?
I think that round one did not help Klein at all. He obviously fell behind. And as you said, and as both of us have, on the rare occasion we agree, said many times on this show, going into that second round, taking your position first and forcing your opponent to catch up can be one way that you control the match. I think he did a good job doing that. I also love that reference from Ryan about the look on Fishburne. Personally, for me, it's Nicolas Cage in Raising Arizona. But either way, he does impress. He does perform well, calm the whole way, good attitude, and he finishes it off the same way that Ben Affleck did in that god-awful movie. He signs the paycheck today and takes the victory. Good on him. Can't wait to see him come back. And Klein, very, very noble in defeat, good attitude. I can see him doing some things in the future. Again, I think there's some preparation that needs to be done there. Maybe you've never studied before. Maybe you know a lot about movies, but if you're going to jump into competition with players like the wonderful man we've got joining us today, the future champ, Nick Hartley, you've got to study, 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 study. I think Fishburne may have been a little more prepared, and I think that's what nets him the victory.
CB, where do you think these guys go? From my own opinion, I think Fred against Daggers might be an interesting fight next up. And then for Fishburne, I kind of have down Chris Adams perhaps as a 2-1-0 guys coming together. Where do you see it?
They sound like good avenues for them to go to next. I mean, I know you said, especially with Fred versus Daggers, they are both come across very much as, you know what they know. And that's pretty much it. They're not necessarily going to hit the books and start studying. I mean, Daggers said himself on our show last week, he doesn't plan on opening any books and actually trying to study any of this stuff. So that's probably a good way for them to go, you know. And to be honest, any of the 0-1 players, really, you know, I mean, especially similar like the ladies from early on with Iman and Abby, they obviously got their own one. It'd be good to see them back again soon. And Fishburne, Chris Adams, again, makes sense. They both want to know. So that could be a way to go, or maybe even like a Kaylin Corrigan, because I think she's at the same 1-0 as well. So that could be an interesting way to go too. One thing I wanted to say about that round three, though, I am so surprised that I See Dead People was a 3-pointer and that Scores and Soundtracks was a 2-pointer. Well, The Danny Elfman, because I was like, oh my God, you know, but you know, it's how things shake up, I suppose. But it just shocked me.
The beauty of the numbers. Nick, what were your overall thoughts on these two guys? Where do you think they're going to go moving forward?
Listen, when I saw that mustache, I knew that Fishburne was going to pull it out. Okay. Yeah. You know, you don't rock a mustache like that unless you're a supremely skilled individual. Klein, I like Klein. He reminds me of like a handsome stepdad or a high school principal. You know, he's going to crack some skulls. I don't know if you were watching the chat during the match, but I think that Andrew Furtado was trying to get adopted.
I saw Klein's house, and I got to agree with Andrew Furtado. Mr. Klein, please, I will be your next child if you'd like.
Yeah, but you know, Chris, and I apologize for being harsh to you earlier on, because you're a lovely individual.
Thank you very much.
You know, I think you're spot on there. I think that Fishburne versus the younger Adams would be a wonderful, wonderful matchup. As well as I think Klein could face anybody. Honestly, I might like to see him run against John Knight, for instance. You know, I think that it would be maybe fun to have a guy that seemed to be, you know, exactly who he is matched up against someone who has a larger than life personality. So
Yeah. That's
just my 2 cents. You can spend it however you like.
Thanks, Nick, but I don't think you get much these days with 2 cents in the shop. But let's move on. Main event, Chattelbash v. Gallegos. First round, 7-5 to Tom. They both missed the first question in new releases again. This Glenn Close, Amy Adams, Ron Howard movie, Hillbilly Elegy. We spoke with Daggers last week and we said that bringing in new releases, you could get Tenant or you could get this. There just seems to be one end of the spectrum to another. Tom goes perfect in the other seven. He hits The Sandlot. He hits Primal Fear. He gets Danny Boyle in Directors. He gets War of the Worlds. He gets Father Figures. He gets Elizabeth. And then he gets the sports question, the 84 Barry Levinson one. With Gallego, he misses two of his last four. And Nick, if I can come back to you again, in your first match against Knight, you had this kind of yips, if you will, where you get one, miss one, get one, miss one. How do you feel in that moment when you're going, I'm back, I'm not, I'm back, I'm not?
I mean, you just have to be confident in yourself and your ability and your knowledge. And thankfully, I am, you know. So I think that it could rattle a lesser competitor, someone with a lower mental fortitude, like maybe Keith, for instance. But you know, if you're a competitor, a true competitor, you're not going to be rattled by missing a question. You're going to move on to the next one.
Coming from a guy who hasn't had a perfect round one, that's the exact response I would expect. But Andrew, what did you think of round one? A couple of hard questions in here.
Well, round number one, very interesting. And I will say, Nick Harley, the real ones don't get rattled. You are right. That's right. Take that confidence forward and take it to the win. You know what I'm talking about because you've done it now more than once. You know how to get to the victory. And this round number one, we've got some very interesting questions. And like you said, Keith, new releases, this is a category that I personally think is deceptively difficult. I can see how the miss happens because every writer who's making questions up is going to write down at least one that's kind of out there. That movie that you watched a month ago and everybody's already forgotten about. It was big at the time and now nobody gives a crap. In this case, sorry to say it, that was Hillbilly Elegy. Both players, I think, could have taken a little bit more time. They could have done a little more to try to pick up those points they left on the table. But in the end, if I had to say how they played, I'd say it's right across the board. They were both good in their attitude. They didn't let any of the misses get to them. They played hard. Just a little more consistent and considered play, perhaps, might have netted another point for one of these players. But overall, I think they did exactly what they intended to coming in.
I have a question for you, Elk. You know, ooh. I don't know if you're anything like myself, but during that round one, they had me checking Twitter to make sure that Glenn Close didn't die or anything and that we weren't having a memorial game in her honor. Am I in there?
I think you are right. I think that is something. Sometimes we find patterns in the questions. We've all seen it in the Schmodown. The same person will come up over and over again. And as someone who has written a few questions for some movie trivia before, I will say that we want to reuse those questions. We don't want to be sitting all day in our house writing another question and another question. And in fact, for all of you who are competing, this is a good piece of advice, especially in a league like the FCL where we know they've got a small team doing all the question writing. If you know a category has come up in the past 3 weeks and not gotten selected, expect those questions to appear in round one. Expect them to be on the wheel. Expect them to show up in round number three. When questions go unused, they're going to return. So I'm guessing that PLD sat down. He wrote a question about Glenn Close. He was thinking about Glenn Close, decided to write another one. I'm guessing that's all there is to it. But hey, even as a competitor, that can also be good advice. If you know the same people are going to potentially come up in your round one, if you don't know an answer, why not guess somebody you've already talked about? Maybe it's right.
No shade there meant for PLD, who's a lovely, lovely man. And I wish him the best, you know.
We've had our words for PLD here and there, but it's always in good sport, in good love. We love the FCL. We want to see it succeed. But I say I agree with you, Nick Harley. It is a little odd that the same ones come up, but I think there is a reason for it.
Let's move into round two, gents. I think Gallego is deferred two, so he has to spin first. This is an interesting one. Ryan, I want to get an opinion from yours. There's two guys here. They both have won, and Tom is in the box seat in terms of, like, do I go first, do I go second? Not having gotten the job done first time around, is there a confusion, or do you think you know your strategy going in regardless?
No, I think competitors would know, for the most part, I think they would know the strategy going into round number two, regardless whether they, whether they're deferring or they spin first. I guess in this case, I would have deferred just to see how my opponent does, whether they do well or not. I can see how many points I need to get to, gain momentum and gain up, pull up to them or, maybe surpass them. So we go either way.
So Gallego spins first. Nora Ephron says no and gets landed with Saturday Night Live. Goes 6 of 8. Misses his first question. Joe Jack Blues character in Blues Brothers. He says Dan Aykroyd. Tom says,
sorry. Real quick, Keith. Joliet Jake.
Way before my time. Way before my time. That's why I report the news. I don't know the news.
A funny answer coming from a guy who's currently talking to 5 other guys, one of whom, along with him, is currently wearing dark sunglasses.
So. Yeah, you look like a brother.
I mean, listen, I dress well. I don't mean that refers me back to a movie from the 80s, but thank you all the same. So listen, misses the 2 on that, goes 6 of 8 for the next couple, The Night at the Roxbury, Dan Aykroyd and Coneheads, and Bohemian Rhapsody is the song that the guy's not along to in Wayne's World. As for Chattelbash, comes in, time travels his first spin, says no, gets animated, also goes 6 of 8, doesn't give up any steals, gets 2 for James McAvoy as Gnomeo in Gnomeo and Juliet, gets 2 for Michael J. Fox in Atlantis, and then the multiple choices, The Sausage Party for 1, and then the 98 film starring Val Kilmer, Ralph Fiennes, The Prince of Egypt. 13-11 still, 2-point gap still there. Chattelbash hasn't missed anything in his round, but he hasn't extended. And this is a major, major factor as we move on. CB, what were your thoughts on round 2?
Gallagher had the easier questions, I found. That's not a lot of questions. He did the exact same thing with me when it comes to Blues Brothers. As soon as when I was playing along, I was like, Stan Aykroyd. Obviously, got it the wrong way around. And I think that probably ended up being quite costly. The fact that Chattelbash missed that steal with saying Jim instead of James instead of Jim, right?
Yeah.
Because obviously he missed that 2-point steal, and that kind of looks to be quite costly coming into round 3. But we'll have a talk about that when we get there. So I just think that was a bad steal, a bad miss, really. When obviously it's really a 50-50 question, and Gallagher's already taken one of them away, and you still kind of get the other one wrong. So. Apart from that, I think they both did really well. Obviously, great use of multiple choice from Chattelbash anyway to get himself through the round. There's not much more I want to say about that, really.
The interesting kind of parallels between his round and Fishburne's in terms of Fishburne kind of knowing perhaps what he needed to do and the amount that he needed to do to keep himself extended, whereas Tom kind of played it safe but didn't get the extension required, unfortunately. 13-11 to Tom, moving into round 3. Andres hits his 2 with the 2005 film based on a TV show. I'm presuming the man in the middle, being a heavy TV guy, knew that. Chattelbash then responds with his 2, the 2015 spy movie with Henry Cavill and Armie Hammer, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Gallagher's 3, in the same way, CB, as you were saying in the first match about the 3 being quite easy, I felt this was quite easy. The Meryl Streep category, 2017 Spielberg film with Tom Hanks, The Post. Bit of a layup, but listen, that's just my own opinion. And then it's all on Tom. 3-pointer in Oscars, the 94 film that had 3 songs that were nominated for Best Original Song. And he says Beauty and the Beast, which is a 1991 movie. And I think only had 1 song nominated for Best Original Song at the Oscars that year. And then it's all on the 5, the 90s question of who played Nick Parker in the Lindsay Lohan Parent Trap. He says Bill Paxton, leaves 45 extra seconds on the clock. Didn't use any JTEs. Incorrect. And your winner, 1-1, Andreas Gallego. Ryan, what were your thoughts on round 3, all in all?
Yeah, overall, some of those questions were a bit tough because when I thought 94, I was thinking of a different film. I knew Lion King was nominated for Can You Feel the Love Tonight, but I didn't know it was nominated for 2 other songs, and that's one of my favorite Disney animated films of all time. Sorry, TLK, I messed up. Give me a break. Didn't know it was 3 songs. I knew it was 1, maybe 2, but 3... You got me. And then as far as his question, the other competitor's question goes, what was it? The post was, you're right. That was a layup. And then the other one, my gosh, that was something else. The parent trap question, by the way, I would have gotten that without even blinking an eye. Dennis Quaid, I knew that. Us 90s kids, some of these movies we grew up on. I remember watching that film a few times, and I would have been able to pull that. So, but hey, you know what? At the end of the day, good, respectable match. Good job by both competitors. And I'm just Gallego, however you say his name. What's up, dude? Congrats to him. I'm happy for him that he got the victory. Look forward to seeing his next match and also Chattelbosch's next match, because they both sort of kind of, they were even in this matchup for the most part. So look forward to see where they go moving forward.
It was a good battle between the two of them. Spoiler, you must have been happy to see TV reference in the third round.
I loved it. I loved the Saturday Night Live slice on the wheel. I like seeing TV in the third round. That's the sort of representation that we need, that when I'm not playing, TV is still coming up. It's still being talked about, okay? So absolutely love this. That's another reason why I'm a big fan of PLD.
Andrew, Tom, for the second match in a row, leaves multiple JTEs on the table before he answers his five. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on this are: round one, use more JTEs. Round two, use more JTEs. Round three, for the love of God, use any JTEs you have left. Jump on the JTEs. Grab them for dear life like you're drowning off of the Titanic and there's no more room on the door. Rose could have let him on that damn door. I mean, JTEs are your saving grace. They're going to get you there. They're going to get you all the way to the end. They're going to get you those points you need. I thought both players played well with the lack of the one thing, and I will never stop harping on it. I will never stop telling competitors to take advantage of everything they give to you. Also, because I have to, because I'm an 80s kid, not a 90s kid like Ryan, I'm going to jump back to round two to those SNL movies. I love those too, and I'm just going to say, Emilio! That's right, Nutty at the Roxbury, represent. Great match by both guys. I can't wait to see either one of them come back. But, I mean, Keith, you and I rarely ever get along, but please, it's three syllables. Let's just say it together. J-T-E.
I got to disagree with you guys. You know, I like when competitors don't use their JTEs. And do you want to know why?
You're going to tell us anyway.
Because the matches end earlier and then I have more time to watch TV. Come on.
You know, you're teaching me new things, Nick. I hadn't thought about it that way. I'm going to have to put that in my mental Rolodex and see if I change any priorities.
CB, Tom's five is actually a question that was asked in this year's free-for-all at one stage. Obviously, that's only a one-pointer in the big leagues. But what were your thoughts on the two guys, five and overall?
Well, we only got asked the 1 5-point question, right? Because obviously Tom missed it, so that was it. I had no idea what the answer was, but it's not a film that I've watched. Opening minute, that wasn't in my wheelhouse. Maybe it's, you know, I was born in the middle of the 80s, grew up in the 90s. By the time this came out, I wasn't really interested in watching Lindsay Lohan movies, to be honest, and I was off doing other things. But so I had no idea what the answer to the question was. I think the Oscar round three miss was a bad one. Obviously, like you said, picking a movie that came out a completely different year, it's not, you know, if you're going to be in this kind of, in this league or striving to get, like our guest today, Nick Harley, into the Schmodown proper, you need to be at least getting a movie from the right year, I would think. You know,
unless, of course, you're Nick Harley and you already know all this stuff.
Exactly. Without even watching any of the movies in the first place. Amazing. But, yeah, so I think, you know, it was just a couple, well, one bad miss with the 3-pointer. I don't blame him for missing the 5-pointer. Like I said, I didn't know it anyway, so I can't really judge him too hardly on it. But then again, I'm not a competitor in the FCL, so I don't need to know the answer to that question, do I?
Very true. So listen, Tom unfortunately moves into the 0-2 club alongside John Knight, and Gallego going 1-1 kind of puts him back himself into that kind of mid-range. But with all being said and done on FCL 11, let's look forward to what's coming up next week in the FCL.
So next week in the FCO, we got two big powerhouse matches that are going to make history, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not. It's going to make history. Starting off with this one, Zafurt Flaus is finally coming out of exile. He's coming out of his hole that he's been living in. He's coming out of his shell, if you will. And he's going up against someone named Warfather, who thinks he's the next Odin for the next Thor film, even though he died like three films earlier. Or maybe he's a young descendant of Anthony Hopkins, or maybe he's Anthony Hopkins' grandson. I don't know, but we're going to find out either way, because Zafirtanflaus versus Warfather, it's going to be crazy, it's going to be wild. I'm not going to understand a gosh darn thing about what's going on or what these two competitors are going to be saying, but the only thing I can promise you is that it's going to be something. I don't know what that something is. It's going to be something. Andrew, any thoughts on this one?
I mean, so many thoughts. What excitement. What big names they're bringing into the FCL. We've got a superstar in Zafirtanflaus. He's international. He's all over the world, and he's got fans upon fans upon fans. He's going to make some more fans when he steps in the ring against the Warfather. A little old world fury against a little new world pop and class. And ooh, I cannot wait to see this one. Zafirtanflaus finally making his debut. But this delightful, delectable dessert of a match is just the beginning. We're having our dessert first because we got the title match afterwards. God, what a week we're going to have.
Certainly. Certainly, for sure. Now, stats man, number man, the guy who is trying to pretend to be something that he's not. Keith, what do you got on this matchup?
What I am is one of the best analysts in the FCL. And that's what I am, Mr. Permis. We can debate later, Harley. We can debate later. But I think, listen, this is an interesting matchup. This has been Christian Herloff's wet dream for well over a year at this stage, and now it's happening. It's happening on the main event properly of FCL 12. This to me is the main event, not the title fight. This is the one that's going to bring in all the views, all the likes, all the subs, whatever Brad and Steve are looking for every Tuesday. But I think, listen, breaking this down properly, Zafirtanflaus, animated is a big strength of his. That's what he's going to look for. Warfather, we know him as an IG player, so they'll expect slices of that nature on it. This is going to come down to round two. They're going to kind of crack and back in the first one, and then listen, if Flaus can get a little eyes wide shut question in round three and kind of tie a bow on his career and get the W that way, but I think Warfather's going to take this one.
Interesting. CB, you like both these competitors for some bizarre reasons, but I'm just curious, what do you got on this matchup?
I have no idea which way. Well, I do know which way it's going to go, but I don't really want to say it because I think I'm a big fan of one of these people, as you will see here with my Zafirtanflaus t-shirt. I mean, this world tour here, see, I had tickets to every single event, all these countries, but obviously pandemic happened. I was only able to go to I think it was Shenzhen, whether that is, but I went there anyway. But it was a kind of a, I was off my head a bit, so I'm not really sure how I got there, but I was hanging with Zafirtanflaus. It was great, and now I'm very excited to have him back in this movie trivia world in the FCL. I do think the Warfather will probably take the victory from this one, though. Obviously, Keith's the stats man. He's been through all the stats and figures and the different things of how things can go, what strengths they could be already. So there's no need for me to do that. But yeah, I'm going to probably lean towards the Warfather, but obviously my spirit animal, the Zafirtanflaus, is who I hope somehow pulls out of the bag.
Oh, somebody better bring out the six-pack because this match is going to be nuts. All right, Nick Harley, our special guest of the week, the man who's moving up to the bigger leagues known as the MTF. The man who wears a leather jacket, probably not as well as some other people in this world. But you know what? He's trying anyway. Nick Harley, what do you got on these two competitors? Do you have a favorite? Do you think someone else is going to pull a surprise victory over the other or not? What do you think?
Careful that you don't bite your tongue there, Ryan. Well, you know, I may not be a fan of movies, but I am a fan of Europop. So, you know, I might have to give it to Zafirtanflaus. You know, I'm a big fan of his German reality television show, Wer ist Zafirtanflaus? You know, so on the flip side of that, you know, I've been to medieval times, so, you know, I feel like I already know the Warfather, you know, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
There you go. Enough said. So that's one of the matches. But as we all know, the main event for next week is the biggest one. It's the one that's going to blow up Twitter. It's going to blow up the interwebs, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not. For some of us, who knows? I'm just speculating. But yes, we do have the title match. FCL title is on the line. The spotlights are going to be shining brighter than they ever shined before. The money is going to be flowing. The bonuses are coming in, the new cars, the new mansions, whatever. Whoever wins this match is going to walk out with all that stuff, and the loser, well, they're just going to walk out of here, as they said in the 1992 film A League of Their Own. But Mick Harley versus Kofi Outlaw, my goodness gracious, this is going to be one for the ages. By the way, are these pictures from 5 or 10 years ago here, Nick Harley? I'm not sure. How old were you then were these pictures were taken? Was there a big storm coming down on you and you just had to look good in that $1,000 rental suit in this picture? I'm not sure.
That was actually taken on a mountaintop in Aspen. So if you pick up a couple more paper routes, Ryan, maybe you'll be able to afford to visit there. But, you know.
Well, it is the place where Beale flows like wine, where beautiful women instinctively flock like the Senator Capistrano. It is a lovely place called Aspen. But anyway, I'm curious. I'm very curious. Outside, because, Nick, we already know who you believe is going to win. That would be yourself. Andrew, I take it you're going to be rooting for the same party. Nick Harley's going to walk out of this thing? Or what? Do you think a surprise could happen somewhere down the line? What do you think?
Let me take you all back. Let me tell you a tale, a story of a man, an oracle, you might say, sat in a group of learned men, and all of them said one thing was going to happen. And the elk's voice rang out and said aloud, I'm taking the pick. I'm going to jump on the sword. I think Nick Harley's going all the way to the title. I said it then. I believed it then, and I believe it now. We can look at the stats. Who's ahead on the stats? Who has a better percentage? That's right. 42 out of 51 versus 39 out of 49. It is Nick Harley. 100% in round three, Nick Harley. Kofi Outlaw is not to be overlooked. And in this matchup, you're going to need to fight in round number one and number two, because so far, neither of these men have missed a step in round number three. But who else could it be? Who could take the victory except for the man who's sitting here with us, the man who's gracing us with his glorious presence? Spoiler alert, folks, your next FCL champion, Nick, the spoiler, Harley.
Did you pick who was going to win? I couldn't hear you over the other stuff that I was trying to concentrate on.
I admit, the smooching noise had to be very loud while I was speaking. I am aware of who I am.
Yeah, I was going to say, Andrew, you got something on your nose. Great big brown thing here. Watch out now. Anyway, the guy who's wearing
snot in there. No snot.
Exactly. By the way, the guy who's wearing a much better looking suit, a much better looking pair of shades, he's a numbers guy. But Keith, what do you think about this one?
I think, listen, I'm going to park all my thoughts of personal dislike for Nick Harley to one side, and I'm just gonna keep it real for a while. Okay, is that okay, Andrew? Would you rather I did this, or would you rather?
No, please continue.
Okay, no, I just wanted to make sure that this was okay with you. But I think, listen, this straight away, like, we've seen the percentages are there in front of you. Kofi has the better percentage in round one. Nick has the better percentage in round two. Nick's been saddled with opponent's choice twice, and he's still gone 8-for-8. Yes, he had to do multiple choice a couple of times, but he was in control of himself when he did it. Kofi has missed a couple in round two. He's missed a couple of steals. Nick hasn't given up any steals. So there's an opportunity that if Nick has a poor round one, he potentially knows in the back of his head that he can get something back in round two. They've both been clutch in round three. But the difference is, this is a 5-round match. We don't know what the other two rounds are going to be. PLD alluded to on the Spotlight series that they were going to mix things up. Is there going to be a speed round? Is there going to be a betting round? What are they going to do? Is there going to be another spin of the wheel? And then maybe the guys need to go and name a load of actors one by one by one by one by one, like what happens in the fan leagues. God only knows what these other two rounds are. But the one thing that I think that will be the major factor that we've seen from these two guys in both their matches, Harley understands strategy. I don't think Kofi does. And I think because of that, Harley's going to find a way to get ahead. And I think having trained and been around Jeff Snyder, he's going to pick up a few little tricks from him this week, which should get him just about 1 point more than Kofi Outlaw. And unfortunately, I have to say, Nick Harley will be the first FCL champion.
Now, as nice as it is to hear you swallow your pride and you know, and give me the proper credit that I'm due, I also am a little perturbed by this, because you saying that I'm going to win is sort of like a kiss of death. I mean, Keith, what is your accuracy in this whole show? I mean, how many times have you been right about who's going to win and who's going to lose? Because if I remember correctly, you predicted that both of my earlier opponents were going to defeat me. Is that correct?
That would be correct, and I was wrong. And you know something? I'm there's a difference between you and me, Harley, is that I know when I can be the bigger man, and I know when I've been wrong, and I can counteract that. You're there and you're sitting and you're all smug and you're, I'm the spoiler, I know this, I know that, I've been picked up by the stars. But you could end up getting a real right hand to that beautiful, beautiful little face of yours, and I would only love to see that happen Tuesday.
Listen,
I do believe that you have in you to be champion.
I've said it once, I've said it again. A dangerous man is a man who has nothing to lose. And since I've already been picked up by the very best faction in the MTS, I simply have nothing to lose here.
Goodness gracious. Is it getting hot in this room, in the studio, or is it just me, ladies and gentlemen, who are watching this in the comfort of your own home? But CB, the man behind the curtain, I'm curious. Yes. We don't know how certain rounds are going to go. PLD alluded there's going to be some surprises. People are going to shake things up behind closed doors, behind the scenes, what have you. You got Nick Crawley versus Kofi Outlaw. Could we see a major upset with Kofi Outlaw winning this match and becoming the FCL World Heavyweight Champion? Or is like a lot of people are probably saying, whether it's on Twitter, in the locker rooms, in the arenas around the country, do we truly believe that Nick Crawley, in all his shades and all his $500 leather jackets and glory and all that jazz, is going to walk in there as the man, and he's going to walk out as the man and win the FCL for the first time ever, the FCL World Heavyweight title? Or are we going to see something else pop up that we're not expecting? Because as we all know in life, expect the unexpected. What do you think is going to happen here, CB?
Well, Ryan, I don't think it's really fair to say, you know, if Kofi does pull out the win, that it'll be an upset, because at the end of the day, he's 2-0, same as Nick is, you know. And we had the stats off a minute ago. Let me see if I can put them back on the screen again. No. Yeah, there you go. You can see the percentages there. There's not a great deal in them, you know, and Kofi has actually got that advantage in round one. I do think, though, as Keith alluded to earlier, I think the Knicks, obviously being slightly better in the second and third round, probably bodes well for him. You know, the more tougher questions, you know, you can kind of, as long as you're keeping that round one close, even if you're a little bit behind, you can catch that stuff back up, especially if Kofi misses some in his round two and Nick can pick up some steals. But obviously, as Keith said, it's the unknown of what these other two rounds are going to be like, because it's a title match. So how are they going to be? What's it going to be? Is it going to be a speed round? Who knows? So very much unknown. I'm going to do my normal trick and sit on a fence and say it could go either way.
But I'm on the fence on this one.
As we have got a guest on the show today, I will say I am leaning towards Nick Harley.
What was his name again? I hope you're saying that right. Yeah, no, look, let's not mince words here. I think at the end of the day, I hate to say this, Nick, and I don't like giving you many compliments, because like I said, for many, many weeks now, you're a snot-nosed punk. You're a John Bender who has no business being here, no business being in this business. But you know what? I think you're going to walk away with this. But even if you do, you're not even going to be able to hold the title for more than 15 minutes of fame, because you're going up to MTS. So that means they're going to have another match and someone else is going to win that belt and become the real FCL World Heavyweight Champion.
Is that what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. That's right. Yeah, I'm calling it. I'm calling it right now. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you can take it to the bank, Harley. I don't care what you do. But that's just what I'm saying. But hey, bottom line is, guys, two big matches, four competitors. The FCL, the MTS, everything about this movie trivia universe is going to change forever next week with FCL 12. So look forward to talking about it with everyone here. And we may even have a special guest next week. Who knows? Anything's possible. Am I right, CB?
No.
A rave at CB's house.
Oh, yeah. There was a light's gone a bit crazy. I don't know what's going on there.
You know, that was your arm reaching out and just flicking the switch like this. Yeah, we can see what you're doing there.
I thought the flouse was here with his disco van outside. Flouse.
Yeah. Lights are flickering.
We have not got a guest lined up yet for next week, but there is something in the works, so we will let you all know.
Hey, I don't know if you saw this, CB, but there was at least one person from the FCL this week on Twitter who was asking to be on our show. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Maybe we could book that guy. I'll tell you if I remember who it was.
Yeah. You do that. Yeah. Who was it now? Yeah.
What was the name of this individual? Does someone have it written down in their notes?
Hang on.
Hangs out with a guy named Steve. I know that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. The chairman, Mr. Brad Gilmore.
Oh, yes.
And Mr. Brad Gilmore, let me reiterate what I said on Twitter. Without my co-host, without approval, without anything else, you have a standing invitation from the L. Please come on this week in the FCL. Please, let's talk the belt. Let's talk the upcoming matches. Let's talk the match format. I don't care. I'll give you all my time. If these guys don't want to be here, that's fine. I'll hang out with you all by myself. Please, 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 Mr. Brad Gilmore, consider this your open invitation. Anytime you want to be on this show, you can be here as long as I'm here.
Yeah, just make sure that Keith and Ryan aren't here.
Unfortunately, they do work here.
Yeah. No, I will be here whether you like it or not, Harley, so suck it up.
But Nick, this has been a wonderful conversation, and I look so forward to you leaving the show and never having to speak to you again.
Exactly. I second that, Keith. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I would say it's been a pleasure, but my mother taught me not to lie, so.
Andrew, I think see you time.
Yeah.
I think it is about that time. Mr. Harley, for me at least, it has been an absolute pleasure. You are a gem of a human being. You are the next FCL World Champion. That's right. I called it from the beginning, and I'm sticking by it. You're going to be our winner. We've had a wonderful time talking to you. And to all the FCL competitors moving on up, Ross, Gerald Battaglia, and you, Nick Harley, this week in the FCL, I speak for all of us, I believe, when I say, everything else aside, we wish you the best of luck as you move forward into the movie trivia schmodown. We want to see you succeed. We want to see the FCL improve every week. And that's why we're here as well, to discuss all the goings on. We will be back next week. But before we take ourselves out, I want to remind you, you can listen to us on all the places where you find podcasts. Check us out for all the news about the FCL that's fit to print. And I'm always joined by some wonderful folks. Let's start off with my regular co-host, CB, our super producer. Where can everybody find you?
As always, you can find me on Twitter at ChrisBarnes_UK and on Instagram at TheMovieBarnes. And this week, apparently, upsetting Reddit users in the Schmodown Facebook group.
Well, then, this show, we're good at upsetting people. So, Keith Kilduff, where can everyone find you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at KKilduff Media. Clearly, my influence is rubbing off on CB, which is even better. And also check me out on the Opening Pair YouTube channel. This week, we broke down the main event of this weekend's UFC 263, Adesanya versus Vettori. Ryan, where can they find you on all the things?
Yes, thank you very much for having me. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at RyanRPM5. Also, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at It's Nerd Culture. New videos are being posted on our YouTube channel each and every week where we talk about movies. Yes, we do talk about TV as well, Harley. And anime, comic books, anything your nerdy heart desires, we try to cater to it as best we can. We've just surpassed over 500 subscribers, so thank you very much to all of you out there for liking, commenting, sharing, supporting our content, because we cannot do it without you. You are the real winners of this game. So you can find us there and check out my podcast. It's called The Nerdcast. Just surpassed 100 episodes on there. I just posted my 101st episode talking about movies such as Career Opportunities and Say Anything. A couple of 80s films there for you, Nick, if you feel like studying every once in a while. So feel free to check it out, man. So other than that, just check me out. I'm all over the interwebs, and you can find me in the fan leagues doing other whole bunch of stuff, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So other than that, yeah, you can find me everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere. Thanks for having me. Back to you at the desk.
All right. That is all of our regular co-hosts, except, of course, for myself. You can like this video. You can subscribe to it. Check us out on podcasts, as I mentioned. I'm on Twitter, at CalcAndrew, and we're going to take us out with our wonderful guest. He is the future FCL champion, in my opinion. He's a future belt holder in the MTS as he's moving on up, becoming a star. Thank you for joining us. Please, what have you got going on? Where can everybody find you? They're definitely going to want to seek you out, Mr. Nick Harley.
You can find my my brilliant thoughts on Twitter at Nick_Marley. You can find more of those brilliant bylines at Den of Geek or Den of Geek US. And make sure you subscribe to the Den of Geek YouTube channel. We've just started a new after show for Loki called Marvel Standum. Once Loki finishes, the show will continue to cover Black Widow, The Eternals, any other Marvel goodness that is going to be coming out this year and in the future. So make sure you subscribe to Den of Geek on YouTube.
All right, fantastic. Obviously, Nick Harley, you are an entertainer. You've got a lot of talent. Please, people, check him out. Give him all the love on the internet. Give us a little love, too. Like I said, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Check us out on podcast if you'd like. It's been another wonderful week with all my co-hosts. most of my co-hosts, and the man himself, Nick Harley. Thank you again for joining us. We'll be back next week with all the news. We're going to break down the matches, including that title match. Nick Harley, will he come out with the victor? I think so. What do you think? You can leave us a comment as well. But thank you for joining us, and we'll be back next week to break down everything on This Week in the FCL.